Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Halen, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you. Join us now on the horn. You see him all the time on Bally Sports Detroit, former Detroit Piston, a Michigan native. His name is Grant Long, Eastern Michigan alum. Grant, my friend, first and foremost, thank you for taking the time to join us. How are you? How's life? How are things now that we're about to embark on the 2021-2022 NBA season for the Detroit Pistons?
Hey, man, you just said a mouthful right there because I am excited just like everybody else is to get ready to get this season underway. Fans are back into the arena. We'll be able to hear the hoopla and the crowd noise. It'll be great from a broadcast standpoint to have that noise in the arena when we're talking and to feel that energy of the fans. It's going to be great. I am looking forward to it. And then to top it all off, you got to feel good with the fact that the Pistons had the number one pick in this overall draft, this past overall draft. They get Kate Cunningham. There's a buzz around the city, and everybody can't wait to see just what this young man can offer this city and how he can perhaps lift them back to greatness in the sports world.
You can find Grant on Twitter, by the way, at GrantLong43. And Grant, you mentioned the fans a couple of times there. It's going to be awesome to get fans back in the stands. But I think the biggest thing for Pistons fans and for those who have been watching, whether you know they date back to the Teal era or the original Bad Boys, or if they're a little younger and they remember Bad Boys Part 2, right, with Chauncey and the crew, you want fans to be engaged. And I remember looking back at those six consecutive seasons of sellout crowds, and the Palace of Auburn Hills was absolutely rocking. I think the worst thing that can happen to a fan base is for them to become apathetic, right? They're not invested in the team. And I really feel like with the signing of Jerami Grant, with the draft picks like Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart, fans have kind of latched onto this team already, and they kind of see that old school Pistons basketball almost renewed and rebuilt here in the city.
Well, you know what, Troy? I have two things to say about the president of the Pistons. Said this is not a rebuild. This is a restore. And the reason that he said that is you have to have something of greatness in order to restore it. The Pistons have had greatness, so that's what they're trying to restore, that greatness once again. Teams that have never had a championship or have never been perennial contenders, They can't restore. There's nothing there to restore. They have to rebuild. They have to tear down and rebuild because they don't have anything to restore. The Pistons are in a better situation that they have a blueprint. They have had the success. Now, I also say that you mentioned the fans and what they have a chance to gravitate to. I've always termed the support of professional athletes in these two ways. There are fans and then there are supporters. The fans are the ones who only care about wins and losses, that's great. But your supporters are going to be there even when the times are lean, when you're not winning, when you're trying to get a better team on the floor through trades and free agency and so forth, and the injuries that plague a team. Your supporters are there through all of that. And I think the Pistons have a lot of supporters who have waited a lot of years since that going to work crew with Chauncey and Tayshaun Prince and Rasheed and those guys. They have waited and they have continued to support this team in hopes of getting another team similar to that they can get behind, guys that are just going to come out, go to work, get it done, and be a team that is going to be passionate about working. And I think that's what we have on the floor now for this year's business.
Grant, can a team like that win in today's NBA? You know, obviously, you know, what the Bad Boys were able to do in the late 80s and early 90s, it netted a couple of championships. Chauncey and their crew was able to do in the early 2000s, six straight Eastern Conference Finals. You had the championship there, another trip to the finals in which they lost. But it felt like those five in particular, no matter which five it was, like they were going to go out tonight. And as you mentioned, they were going to work every single night. Can that style of basketball, can that still be a championship winner in today's league that is it's star driven? I mean, you have Giannis in Milwaukee and LeBron in LA with Russell and Melo. You have KD and, well, who knows about Kyrie, but James Harden in Brooklyn. There's stars all over the place. Can you win without that bona fide superstar?
Absolutely. And I've held to this for so many years. You give me five guys who understand what they're about and how to play the game and what makes them successful and how they can play to their strengths and hide their weaknesses, I'll take those five guys as a unit over your team with two or three superstars. I'll take that team all day because they're going to find a way to win. They're going to find a way to cover for each other their deficiencies, and they're going to play to their strengths. You don't see that a whole lot in the NBA, but if you can find a group of guys who are willing to commit to that, put the team first, then you're going to have a chance to win just about every night. And I think this is a young team, the second or third youngest team in the league. Not talking about a championship contender right now, but what we're talking about is a team that can be very, very competitive every single night and give themselves a chance to win. And ultimately, when they get a little bit more content.
You know, I think that that's what all Pistons fans are hoping. And I'll tell you what, Grant, last year, I know it was a shorter season, you know, 10 games shorter, 72 games in total. That was the best 20-win team, Grant, I have ever seen. I've never, so much fun watching them. They only won 20 games.
They held your interest because, I think about this, a couple of years before that, this is not a stab at Stan Van Gundy. I like Stan. I think he's a terrific coach, a terrific guy. But there were several games under Stan Van Gundy's regime that we scratched our head and said, how did they lose by 17, 18 points? How did they never even get out of the gates in the first quarter? They never even led or were competitive throughout the game. We never had a game like that with this young ball club last year. They were in every single game despite the injuries, despite the different lineup changes. They were there despite being a very young crew. They were very competitive in every game. We did something a couple of days ago where they lost 29 or 30 games by 10 points or less. If they're a seasoned team, they win, just win 15 of those games. You know, if you're seasoned and more experienced, you're going to win 15 to 20 more of those games. So that's a very good thing to be looking forward to.
You know, and they were, it felt like, as you mentioned, every game they're competitive and they lost it right at the end. So from inside the clubhouse, like that looks a lot different. And it feels a lot different than us watching at home and some fans who might be monitoring the draft and the draft pick. And I kind of, you know, I'm not a big fan of tanking. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in the Philadelphia 76ers process. I don't like anything about it. I don't like the idea that we're going to intentionally lose to try to get the number one pick. But what I do think that what I saw last year, I'll take the word tank out of it. That was like the perfect season possible. You were competitive. You played hard in every game. The fans kind of gravitated to some of these young guys. You allowed them to play. As you mentioned, they learn and try to get some of that seasoning. And at the end of the day, you still lose by a couple of points, which didn't hurt your draft position. And the basketball gods rewarded us with Ben Wallace on the scene to get that ping pong ball. I mean, I couldn't have been happier, Grant.
You couldn't have scripted it any better. And I have to say this. That, you know, we the word tank gets thrown around quite a bit in the sports world. I'm like you. I don't believe in it. But that's why the players play the game. The players have absolutely nothing to do with tanking. I can't believe, I would stake my life to say that there's no player that believes in tanking. They're going to go out and play as hard as they can. Now, the organization might say, hey, we're going to sit this guy out. We're going to change the lineup. They're going to do some things to perhaps lessen the chance of victory, but the players themselves are never going to buy in to tanking. So as you mentioned, with all of that being said, it still ended up being the perfect scenario for the Pistons because they were able to garner the number one pick, and a great pick it was in Cade Cunningham. I do believe he was the best player in the draft.
That's really, you know, kind of reassuring to hear. And I want to get your take, Grant, because you spent so much time in the NBA, right? A 15-year career. You played in Miami. You played in Detroit. You played in Atlanta, Vancouver at the time, then Memphis. You played in Boston. You've seen a lot of things, right? You've played under a lot of coaches. You played with a lot of teammates. And Dwayne Casey was a guy who, you know, when he was in Toronto, they were right there. They were at the cusp of it all. And then he gets, you know, he comes to Detroit and it's like, okay, well, here's an opportunity where, you know, we're thinking that maybe a coaching change here, moving on from Stan Van Gundy, the coaching change could be what takes this team to the next level. You know, fast forward a couple seasons and now everything, all those guys are completely gone. And he has to now take on maybe sort of a newer role from, I'm here to coach up this team to get them to the next level, to now I got a bunch of young guys on this team. And my role as a head coach has almost completely changed. And it really seems like he's embraced it and that he actually enjoys that.
You know what? He's a teacher first. I don't know if you remember how good Larry Brown was as a teacher of basketball. And Coach Casey is cut from that same cloth. And I like what he did also. Not to say anything negative about the former coaching staff, but Coach Casey understood that he has a young group of guys and he's going to need some coaches that are going to be on board with developing these guys. And so he went out and he got some new coaches, some more coaches to contribute to developing the young players and giving them an opportunity to grow in their skill set. that's what Coach Casey is all about, giving these guys a scenario or an opportunity to go out and showcase their skill set in a team setting that's going to be beneficial to the success of the Pistons organization. And I think no better guy to do that than Coach Casey. He has cut his teeth at the bottom rung of the NBA. He's been an assistant. He's been everything that you could possibly imagine in this league. So he's seen it from all walks of life, and he understands the basketball part of it wholeheartedly. And he's the right guy for the job.
It really does seem that way. I mean, I love what he's been able to get out of some of these young guys thus far. And I want to go to Jeremy Grant, because it was James Edwards of The Athletic who wrote that really just amazing piece for The Athletic about Jeremy Grant and his desire to come to Detroit. You know, he talked about wanting to play for a coach that looked like him, for a GM that looked like him, in a city that looked like him, that it was so much deeper than just basketball. And I think that speaks volumes, even to people that can't necessarily relate to what exactly he's talking about, to kind of feel that somebody in free agency wanted to come to Detroit, wants to be a part of this, wants to be vital in that restore. And then for him to play the way that he did when he was healthy last year, you talk about bursting on the scene, making Team USA. Is it weird for me to expect even more out of him this year?
You know what? I would say flew under the radar last year, but if you recall, this was his first opportunity, if you will, being the number one guy. And everybody was wondering, can he consistently do this night in and night out? And he proved that he could. Now, this year, he's going to have to make some major adjustments, because they're going to be defenses now designed to slow down his progress. So he'll have to make those reads very quickly. I wouldn't be surprised if his assist numbers went up, because he's going to be double-teamed. They're going to force the ball out of his hands. He'll have to make the right read and make the right pass that will perhaps lead to a basket. If he can do that on with regularity, he's going to free himself up later in the ball game to be special when they need him to be in the fourth quarter.
You know, Grant Long, join us right now. He's a Michigan native, an Eastern Michigan alum, 15-year vet. You catch him on Bally Sports Detroit as an analyst for the Detroit Pistons. And Grant, I love the fact that, you know, Cade Cunningham is talking about the team, and they asked him about Rookie of the Year, and he said, you know, it's fine and all, but it's just a piece of hardware, and I think that what I can bring to the locker room is much more than just that trophy. I'm paraphrasing. That wasn't the exact quote, but that's basically what he said. I love everything that Cade Cunningham has said so far, because I look at the guy that was taken number two, Jalen Green, in Houston. I'm like, thank God we don't have to deal with that, because that guy, I mean, everything is all about me, and Cade Cunningham's all about we, and Grant Long, I want we guys on the team, not me guys.
Oh, absolutely. You're hitting it right on the head. You have to, you know, sometimes talent, you can have too much talent, and if the talent doesn't mesh with the right attitude, then that talent is going to take your team in a direction that you perhaps don't want it to go, and I think that's why Cade was such a good fit. Jalen Green is a phenomenal talent. But again, if that talent does not have full buy-in to what you're doing, then your team's not going to be successful. And I think that's why Cade is going to stand out. He's got a year of college under his belt. He knows what he's doing. He knows about the league. He's been playing with professional players for about 2 or 3 years now. So he understands that part of it. And as you say, everything that comes out of his mouth is so team-oriented. He's got full buy-in already. There's a cohesive group. And believe me when I tell you, that when you see guys or teammates that are close off the floor, you're going to see something different or something special on the floor with that same group. It doesn't happen every time, and I'll share a quick story with you. I played with Joe Dumars at the Pistons, and we were working out one morning, and he asked me to look around, and he said, everybody is in here working out. It was like 9:30. Practice didn't start until 11, but everybody was there on our team at 9:30. He said, that's special. That doesn't happen on every team where everybody's fully committed to come in and get their work in and be ready to improve the team. That's very, very special. And I think this team, when I look at their cohesiveness, they have that unique quality as well.
You know, Grant, I was very, very excited about Cade, and I really like the direction. You know, Sadiq Bey bursting onto the scene, having a really good freshman campaign in the NBA. You know, Beef Stew, Isaiah Stewart, it's like, hey, Ben Wallace 2.0, like, let's not put all that expectation on him, but he's a workaholic, and he's just the same similar sort of stature, and I love that guy. Cade Cunningham coming in, Jeremy Grant, that's fantastic, and I'm thinking to myself, here's a Pistons team that, hey, this upcoming 21-22 season, this team is going to push for the playoffs. And then it seemed like the minute I said that, everybody in the Eastern Conference decided they wanted to make a move and get better too. And I'm a little I'm a little concerned about how excited I was early on at the beginning of last offseason. Very concerned now about my prediction that the Pistons might get into a play-in game this year.
You know what? That's very possible. And I've heard some people say that that would pretty much mean a very good season for the Pistons if they managed to get themselves in a play-in. You have to recognize that everybody doesn't have a Kevin Durant on their team. Everybody doesn't have James Harden. And he's got three guys with Kyrie Irving on the same team. Giannis is a very special and unique player. But every team will not have that caliber of a player. So that's where the Pistons have to remain consistent. You're not going to play Brooklyn eight times in a season. You're going to play them four, but you're not going to play them eight times. So those other wins, you got to rack them up. That's when your cohesiveness, that's when your effort and energy and your know-how, you got to win those games. And I think the Pistons, if they can win those games, boy, at the end of the season when we count them up, I think they're going to be in a very good position.
Chicago got a lot better with Lonzo Ball. That's who Pistons fans are going to see tonight, 7 o'clock tip-off inside Little Caesars Arena before they pack their bags and head to the United Center. So they're going to go back-to-back against a Chicago team that has a lot of expectation on them. They'll go on the road to Atlanta, then to Philly. Philly's got some issues right now, so who knows? You never know. But, you know, Beef Stew might give old Joel Embiid a little bit of a problem there. Orlando, a road trip to Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Philly, Brooklyn again. I mean, the first few, 10 games of the season are going to be difficult. There is no doubt about that. What do you think, Grant, is outside of the realistic expectation for this team, what would you say to fans who, if the wins and losses don't appear right away, to keep them kind of on board, because this is going to be a difficult stretch to open the season?
Well, you nailed it right on the head. The important thing is that the guys weather the early storm. Get a couple of surprise wins in there, weather that early storm, and not get deflated because it looks like all of a sudden the work that they put in all summer long and in training camp doesn't seem to be paying off. It's an 82-game season this year, a long season. The first 10, 12, 20 games will not define this Detroit basketball team. So they've got to continue to play hard, continue to work hard, and go through it and not let themselves get deflated because of a few losses that might mount up in the first 17, 18 games. That can't be the defining moment for this basketball team if they're not on the plus side after 17 games. They've got to continue to plug away at it. And as I mentioned, it's a long, long season, and they can certainly turn things around if, in fact, they are in a bad situation after 17, 18 games.
He is Grant Long, analyst for Bally Sports Detroit, 15-year NBA veteran, the Eastern Michigan alum, and the pride of Romulus High School here in Romulus, Michigan. Grant, my friend, thank you so much for the time today. We greatly appreciate it. Looking forward to watching the broadcast later on this evening at 7 o'clock against the Bulls, and have a great, successful season on your end. Hope to touch base with you soon, partner.
Thank you, and same to you. Enjoy.